last week I was home, Tom Segura, and I'm driving down Kennedy Boulevard, and we stop at a light. The beauty, Tom Segura, I want to do this, but I want to do this for your studio only. Uh-huh. I only want Tom Segura Productions involved in this. When you have nothing to do, I want you to get a camera, get the fucking dude with the glasses, Josh Potter.
Yeah.
Let's get him. Let's get him nice and stoned. We rent a car in New York. We drive down Kennedy Boulevard, and I tell you, every corner where I rob somebody, it is the fucking funniest thing. I used to rob a gas station across the school from the high school.
What?
There was a gas station across the street from the high school. It was a Cuban guy named George. So the gas station was in Amoco, so we just called him Georgie Amoco. That was his name. And it started out all right, but I could see that he was a dick. So one night we wanted to rob a gas station, me and my buddy Darren Ragos, God rest his soul. So the first time we robbed it, we didn't really rob it. I went down and tried to rob a water pistol from Pathmark, and I got caught robbing the water pistol. Because you put tape around it, and it looks like it a gun, like you pop out a fucking thing, and I got caught, and I talked my way out of it. So we went, and we got like another plastic gun from my friend's fucking little brother, and we taped it up, and me and Rego were going to rob the joint. And we went in, and the fucking dude was washing his hands, and he had the bundle of money on top of the counter. You can't write this shit. No. You can't write this shit. And I remember looking at Darren, and I just grabbed it, and we just ran like pussies down the corner. We ran for like three fucking blocks, four blocks, full speed ahead. We get to the corner, there's nothing. There's Ugats. It was a Jewish bankroll. It was like a 20 with a bunch of singles in the middle. He got us. So now we wait like 6 months, and there's a new attendant. And this guy, we went in there full speed ahead with fucking baseball bats. Down, broke the glass. We grabbed him. Give me your fucking money. We took them. We had masks on with ski holes in them, the whole fucking thing. We took him. That time he had like the small eight. We got him good because in Jersey, they got to pump your gas.
Yeah.
So they keep the fucking money. So holy we shit. Always knew this shit. So we shook him down. And then we did that to him. And another time he had a bunch of tires out there. And we just went one night with a car and just started putting tires in the car.
You took all the tires?
And there was no cameras in the state. That's when he used to wrap them with aluminum foil.
How often were you robbing places?
I would alternate them. I had a couple different spots and I would just hit them when they were weak.
Yeah.
So.
Don't you miss that a little bit?
Oh, with all my heart. Yeah. I see shit. I see so many openings now, but there's cameras everywhere. Because it's in your blood. You know what I'm saying? It's in your fucking genes.
And plus the thrill, right? It's got to be such a thrill.
So we kept robbing this guy. Tires, you know, the whole thing. Soda machine. He had a soda machine. We broke it one night. This guy, he called the cops. The cops were like, we know these kids. We can't arrest these kids.
Yeah.
How old are you? We grew up with them.
We had to be 16, 17.
And no one at the tire shop said 16-year-olds with tire trucks about tires is weird?
No, we would move shit like fuck. We had a guy that we would dump it on. But the guy got so aggravated, he called the cops so much. He crossed the street, and he started talking to the superintendent of the schools. And the superintendent of the schools, we grew up in his house, too. And he was like a chunkier guy. Uh-huh. He looked like Paulie from Goodfellas. Uh-huh. And it's that scene when the guy telling them, complaining, these kids, you got to calm them down. And he would say, and Mr. I don't want to say his name, God rest his soul. Mr. A would have a cigar and he'd go, I talk to them all the time, but they don't listen. It was just like that. Just like that. Greetings from motherfucking Podcastville. It's Monday, May 13th. Wash your pussy and powder your fucking asshole. It's going to be a good motherfucking week. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by Manscaped. Listen, let me tell you something. There's nothing worse then trimming your nutsack and around the fucking pole of death. And you got to sit there and look around and have anxiety. Or you got to ask your wife to fucking trim your fucking nutsack. It's not good. But the suffering ends today. Oi! That's it. Mother's Day's over. It's Father's Day. You got to keep it. Even your dad, he's 70 years old. What, you don't think he gives your mom a little toot-toot from time to time? Give him a little Father's Day gift so he can trim up his fucking nutsack. You got the precision tools, and they're for the family jewels. Manscaped has redesigned the electric razor with the Lawnmower, a handheld razor with skin-safe technology that won't nick or snag your fucking nutsack. All right? You got to go easy on the fucking pole of death. So do me a favor. At manscaped.com, you get everything you need to make your balls shine and your dick looking pretty fucking good, too. You know what I'm saying? So the Church family gets 20% off with your first order when you use promo code CHURCH at manscaped.com. That's promo code CHURCH at manscaped.com. Remember, keep your balls clean. The Church is also brought to you by CBD lion. Listen, no more fucking CBD oils at liquor stores. Okay? I see a Hindu selling CBD and fucking bottles of vodka. I light the place on fire. It's that fucking easy. No more. CBD lions got you covered. Shattered. Vapor pens. Fucking tincture that you put under your tongue. Listen. No more walking around sore, nothing. I got you. CBDLion.com. Go to their website right now and check out their third-party lab results for your fucking self. And just for checking, I'm going to throw you a little gift. The church family gets 20 motherfucking percent off on checkout. That's CBDLion.com. Kick this motherfucking Mule Lee. It's Monday, cocksuckers. I don't want to hear no stories. They ain't giving out shit out there. I want to see nothing but assholes and elbows. You know what I'm saying? Tom Segura's here. The Christ Killer's here. kick it, Leek. I need some smoke coming out of my speakers. Here we go. A little Suicide music, a little Soundgarden. Tommy Buns in the fucking house.
Jose, ¿qué pasa, Jose?
How are you?
I'm great, man.
Now, when you see your dad, do you speak Spanish to him at all?
No, my dad doesn't speak. My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah.
What does she say to you in Spanish? Anything?
Ay, Tomcito, como es, you know, por favor, dame un beso, you know.
All that shit.
All that shit. Everything, man. She speaks to me, you know, pretty much 50-50. A lot of Spanish, though.
Did you take Spanish in high school?
I did. I was, but I was through it all. Like, I passed level 4 AP sophomore year. So then they threw me in French, and I got a D. And then
what a fucking nightmare that is.
I thought it was going to be as easy as Spanish, and I was like, no,
you never switch. You got to keep in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I should have done Italian.
For me, it was Italian.
Yeah.
I took Italian, and it was I could understand it.
Yeah, Italian.
It was funny. I was watching The Godfather last night, and the more south you go on the boot,
mm-hmm.
the more Spanish it gets.
Really?
Yeah, like when you listen to Sollozzo talk, he's pretty much speaking Spanish. Tu padre. He was fucking like, I forget what the line, I go, wow, it's so close. But I grew up with Sicilians. And when they would talk, I could pick up a fucking...
you can understand a lot of it.
A lot of it.
Yeah,
But
and
if
I
you
heard,
go
like,
north...
Then it gets a little
complicated.
A little froggier, right?
Yeah.
With the fucking... Yeah. The French speak.
Like, it's like some guys say, buongiorno.
Mm-hmm.
Like Northern Italy and maybe... don't quote me on this. I don't know. But other people say, che fa? That's hello. So I think that's more of a Sicilian dialect, you know?
Yeah.
But what the fuck do I know?
You ever spoken with like a real, you know, Argentine, and you're like, are you speaking Italian? And it takes you a second to realize they're speaking Spanish.
Well, they speak
Because they sing it, you know?
It's like speaking to Spaniards.
Yeah.
People that are really from Spain, their Spanish will complicate. But right now, at this point in the game, Segura, I could maintain a simple conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The shit I was talking when I was 13 has disappeared from my mind.
Yeah.
Like when I was 13, I was dropping scientific facts in Spanish.
Yeah.
I could talk to my mother in a more, once they died, that whole world died. You know, I was from Union City where you spoke Spanish. Like the Cubans spoke Spanish when they were amongst themselves. So you heard it, you heard the music, you know, I remember it, and I'm happy that I remember it, but it's not like, and it was proven when I went on the Rogan podcast with Yoel. I didn't know a lot of this shit he was saying, common words that are simple that I picked up after I listened to the podcast. So it's like a muscle that...
It goes away. You know, I used to be really sharp at one point. When I was in college, I did a semester in Madrid, and when I came back from there, I'm writing term papers in Spanish, given presentations in Spanish. I came back and I'm not shitting you. My Spanish was better than like my mom's, than other natives, because I was just so immersed in it. You know,
how was Madrid? 6 months?
6 months, yeah.
How was it?
That was dope, dude. I love Madrid.
How was the food?
Amazing.
Like everybody says.
Amazing, yeah.
seafood inspired, everything. Right?
A lot, yeah, everything. I mean, but like 70%, Spanish right? cuisine is, I mean, I think it's phenomenal. So yeah, it was, yeah, a lot of seafood. I mean, obviously all the paella, all the famous.
All the mariscos,
like,
and all that
so
shit.
So good, yeah, it's so good.
When I was in Jersey this last time, there's a, and you can't compare it. There's a place called Las Tapas on Bergenline Avenue, and I went in there. The fucking paella was great. But my all-time favorite paella back there is a dump.
It's in, always like that,
in
though.
In Moonaki, New Jersey, where fucking, for some reason, everybody's head is just huge in Moonaki. You know, every time you see people walking, like they're trying to carry their head, something happened with the water there, giant stadium, something. I don't even know if Moonaki has a high school. They would have blown it up by now. I don't fucking know. But they got a fucking pie, and it's dirty. A volunteer, you got to give them 45-minute notice. And then you got to warm up, because you got the shrimp with the garlic.
Yeah.
And you got to dip the bread in the garlic. If not, it just doesn't fucking work.
And I like when you scrape that pan.
That garlic pan. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Christ.
Christ, man.
I just went. I had the clams. Making me salivate right now. That's what tapas are, basically, our appetizers and shit like that. But it's funny. My mother used to, she said that, my mother told me she had to do like, and I can't do the timeline. Like, when she, I'm trying to figure it out now. My mother had to do like a 6-month apprenticeship with my grandmother on my father's side, because they were from Spain, and she had him spoiled rotten.
With what, how she cooked and everything?
Yeah, so that was part of the deal to get married to him.
You gotta know how to cook for him. Whoa.
So when my father
died. That's some old school shit.
Yeah, so when my father died, my mother kept cooking those meals. And there was a fish soup that she made that nobody's ever made, because she would take the fish and break it into little strands to take the bones out with potatoes or some fideo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you put fideo, it's noodles, but fideo is something completely different. Like,
yeah.
When you have fideo, you know you're having fucking fideo. And
did your dad die in Cuba?
Or? No, he died in Union City.
He did.
He died in Union City.
And how much before your mother did he die?
13 years.
13 years before she 13 died.
13 years before my mother.
So do you remember your dad?
I could lie to you sections. Like, I remember two stories. I remember me and him driving under the Lincoln Tunnel with me sitting on his lap, which you couldn't do today, no seatbelt, smoking a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? They'll throw you in jail for that.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember him and my mother talking in the living room, like very, and me eating bread with olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that's it. I don't remember nothing else. Yeah. But it's fucking sickening that I feel his presence. Like, whenever I leave the house, you know, I worry about my daughter. You know, 30 fucking 5 school shootings this year.
It's crazy.
You know, you see that little young kid's face. Did you see the one fucking 12-year-old? He's like, I get a bat, bitch.
Yeah. No.
And that's how these kids gotta be. Yeah, yeah. They interviewed a 12-year-old kid from the Colorado shooting this past week.
Yeah.
And the kid was like, I'll take a bat or whatever.
He's like, you got a bat? Yeah. He's like, I don't want to go down.
I'm not going to go down unless I'm swinging. That's, you know, and that's, I'm trying to, how old is your eldest now?
He is 3.5.
3.5. Yeah, yeah. You got 2 more years to not to worry. And then they go to kindergarten, and then you're on the road, and there's a school shooting. And, you know, when there's a school shooting in Kentucky, it affects all of us.
Yeah, of course. No, it's terrible.
You know, and it's amazing how people who don't have kids, dog, my whole view has changed on kids. I've always loved kids anyway. Like, I'm not Michael Jackson. I'm not going to invite them to the house
and go
on a great adventure
with
them.
But kids are great,
But I like kids. I like talking to them. I like observing kids and where their head is at. You know, when all that shit happened before, you grieve for the parents. Like, you're like, I would hate to be, no parent should have to bury their child, you know? So you grieve about all that shit. But at the same time, now Mercy goes to school. And now when I'm on the road or whatever, you have to fucking prepare him. You have to prepare him. Like, I've already shot a gun in front of her just to see if she'd shit her pants. You know, just, you have to prepare them, man. It's a different fucking world. And I got to tell you something. If anybody should have shot up a school, it would have been a guy like me. That lost his mother at 17, that fucking was really confused, I was angry at the world, you know. This God that they talked to me about for fucking 15 years, where the fuck is he?
Yeah.
Because no God would remove his mother from his kid. Right. And I would never think of blowing. You know, at that age, first of all, this is my place of business.
Yeah.
That's why I sold my acid. How am I going to shoot up my own joint? You know what I'm saying? Why am I going to shoot up my own joint?
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make fucking sense to me when
the happens. Fucking shooting thing is so goddamn depressing, man. Did you see the fucking gun raid in Holmby Hills?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Now, where's Holmby Hills?
That's Beverly Hills, Bel Air adjacent, like right there. It's big time money. And they fucking found 1,000 guns.
I saw sheets and covers and shotguns, dude. Like
rifles, assault rifles, all kinds of shit.
That motherfucker had more guns than Lincoln.
Yeah, he did.
That motherfucker was going to war.
I think they said he was a white supremacist.
They haven't really released much info.
You know who owned the house? There's Getty, one of the daughters of the Getty.
I'm telling you, something's not right here.
By the way, how fucking upsetting is it that the OK symbol has been hijacked? Yeah. Like, that now that's a white supremacist thing. Do you know that?
I don't even know what the OK symbol is.
That is considered...
It's a flying asshole where I come from.
Well,
okay? That's not an OK symbol. For years.
For what is where I came from...
Mean? Look at it. That's a flying asshole.
This was...
You ever see an asshole fly? No.
And then the South Americans were all like, this means you're gay. So they're like, this means you want some dick in your ass. You make the OK symbol.
Yeah, this has always been dick in your ass.
Yeah, put a dick in my ass.
You know, if you're standing on the corner and some guy pulls up at the light and goes like this, he's asking you, you want to dick me in the fucking ass with a small 30? He's giving you three fingers or the small 300.
When I grew up, it was a game. Like, if you got someone to see it, you got to punch them. It was a game. But now, now it's...
Well, who would you play these games with?
I don't know.
Other little faggy fucking kids. This means fucking in the ass.
Yeah.
And this means a flying asshole.
But now it means white fucking power.
You remember your first blowjob?
Yeah.
What was the guy's name?
Joey. God damn it.
Did you ever experiment? Did you do some gay shit?
No.
Not even a little bit?
Not even
He's
a little.
He's thinking about it now.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Hollywood. You never wrestled?
No, no.
He's been to gay bars and shit.
Not yet.
Just the Monday Night Wrestling.
Life is young. Life is young.
You ever had like a tennis coach who was like, no, you got to do it like this?
I was a chubby kid. No one ever did that to me.
Did you watch a documentary on that soccer coach? It's on HBO. I caught the first fucking hour of it. And I had to turn it off because I could see my wife's jaw dropping.
Like some fucking molester.
The dude, the fucking coach of the Olympics.
The gymnastics coach.
They did a documentary on him.
That guy.
He was opening up your asshole and putting two fingers in your ass.
And telling you it was helping you.
Yeah, it was helping you.
So,
if you finger or your hips tight, let me stick my hand in your pussy with no fucking ointment on my hand.
Nothing.
And he's like, creepy fucking dude.
And he did it to like hundreds of them, right?
Hundreds.
Jesus Christ, man.
And, you know.
That's another one, too. You hear about that and you're like, fucking hey, man. Like it's so depressing.
In a fucking scary fucking world. And you got to prepare yourself.
Well, I noticed, like, for you, Joe, you always go to your daughter's events, it seems like. It seems weird to send your kid in an Uber to an event just with some random coach.
Fuck. What? No way.
There's a lot of people who do that. Yeah.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. You can't get me started with this shit.
No, I don't.
Especially in this, where we live. This area is very... I don't know. You know, for years I was angry with my mother. Like in my early 30s when I went to prison, I wasn't angry with my mother. I just thought that she didn't do a good job. Now I would open the casket and suck one of the bones on her feet because she did a phenomenal job. And here's the sad thing. She was a degenerate gambler that was pretty much baseline functioning alcoholic. She could do more as an alcoholic than most people do straight. She would eat people's fucking lunches. As a woman, she ate people's lunch. She ate man's lunches. Never mind these cunty women that complain all day and don't do dick.
Yeah.
So now I have a big time, because the reason I'm in this room at 56 is because of the principles that she exposed me to and the little things she did. My mother worked till 3 in the morning, dog. And my mother believed that a bartender had a drink to sell drinks. My mother believed she had business principles. She's like, I don't want a bartender who don't drink. You have to drink when you're behind the bar. It was the 60s and 70s, you know.
So she really believed that.
She believed that. She believed her bartenders could not have their boyfriends at the bar. If your boyfriend shows up, you're fired. not a key. I don't ever want the illusion that that guy doesn't have a chance with you.
Right, smart.
You know, I went to Benihana the day I got back from New York. I look at businesses and I look at what a waste they are. That Benihana and Encino is as ghetto as I've ever seen a place in my life. I was embarrassed. Papers on the floor. There was two drink cup cocktails outside. Encino is a white neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was disgusting. But it wasn't the people's fault. It was that they did not hire somebody to greet people at the door. My mother, when she had that bar, you know what the biggest lesson I learned was? I never forget when I was working for my mother. She would pay me good money, $20, $10, to do menial shit. Clean the bathroom, pick up. And I'll never forget one day, we had the restaurant still. I had to be Mercy's age. And we had the restaurant still. And I still remember my mother. And you think about it, you listen to the story, and you might think it's the wrong thing. And I remember my mother grabbed me going, go put a shirt on and a jacket. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, come on, come on. And there was a podium at my mother's bar. And there was a bar first, and then it was the restaurant. We only had the restaurant for maybe, till I was about 6 or 7, and it was too big of a load on my mother. Because at the end of the day, my mother had to cook the meals. So my mother had to cook, but then somebody would come in at 4 and serve the meals, and she had waitresses, and my mother would be behind the bar. And I still remember one day my mother, there was a, you know those doors that you push?
Mm-hmm.
Velvety, it wasn't velvet, it was like a leather material mm-hmm. with two windows. There was maybe, my mother had 12 tables, maybe 3 of them had people on them. I was about 6. And I'll never forget that a couple pulled up. And the bar had like 15 people at the bar, and 2 people pulled up. And they go, do you have a table for 2? And they were like, oh, aren't you young to be a maitre d'? And they were goofing on me, and I go, let me seat you. And I'll never forget, my mother was busy, and she goes, what happened to those 2 people? And I go, I sat them. And she goes, you weren't supposed to see them. You're supposed to see them at the bar, and I got to get them for 2 drinks. Before I seat anybody in my restaurant, I don't care if it's packed or empty, I got to get them for 2 drinks at the bar. This is a woman in 1969 telling me this.
Yeah.
And me going, what the fuck are you talking about? And then she goes, where's that $10 I gave you? And I took it out. I go, here. And she took it out of my hand, and she goes, you just lost it. You just paid for those 2 drinks. And she walked away from me. And I cried, and I fucking remembered that lesson till today. I remember that lesson.
Yeah.
Don't. At Benihana, there should have been a guy there
yep.
that should have taken me and my daughter. Oh, you don't want it. You're too young. Taking my daughter to my wife to the bar and offered her a drink. That's principles. Those yeah. are the principles I was raised in, you know? You know how many times I took my kid into that fucking YMCA pool and jumped in the pool? Me. At 340. At that time, when I first heard Mercy, when I baptized Mercy, I was 348, 345.
Fucking A, really?
Yeah, when I baptized Mercy, I got big. I lost a bunch of weight, and then I got big. I used to take Mercy to that YMCA with no fucking shirt on. When she was 6 months old, I'd take her twice a week to mommy and me swimming. Me and my fucking wife. You know how many times I saw Mexican women with white kids in there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Tom Segura. I understand you're in New York trying to feed your wife. But here's the beauty of it. Your wife and you were there.
Oh, right.
Texting.
Oh, right.
Tweeting. And the kids are in the pool. And they got a fat Mexican woman, you know, that barely fucking speaks. She's in the fucking dreamer. She's a dreamer. She's looking out the window, you know, waiting to bring the rest of them in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here you two are. What are the chances that kid's got no chance? You never built a bond with your child.
Yeah.
I still remember fucking 2 feet of snow falling into New York City. I'm a Cuban kid, dog. 2 feet of snow. Waking up my mother reeking of alcohol. And her getting dressed and pulling me down fucking Amsterdam Avenue. Remember those sleds
yeah.
with the rope? Pulling me back and forth for 2 hours. I was a kid with a hangover. You know what what Mercy's chances are? Of getting me out in the fucking 2 feet of snow with a hangover? Niente. Zero. You know what I'm saying?
White power.
Yeah, white power. Stinky asshole. These are the things that get at me. That parenting has really like cut yeah. out. And then... Now we got, you know, that whole shooting with that fucking Colorado. You know what happened, right? There was a kid, and then he had a 16-year-old that was born a female, but she identified as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking retarded. Maybe I'm a fucking asshole. How old do you have to be to drink?
21.
So you're giving a fucking 14-year-old fucking pills because he tells you he's a woman. You're giving him fucking pills.
It's happening younger than that.
The mind is not even developed yet. I'm not a fucking genius here. I'm not a fucking genius here. Listen, I did acid at 14. I may at any time walk into a fucking restaurant and just shit in my hand and throw it against the wall. I'm waiting for it. Is dementia my future? It has to be. I ate 20,000 hits of microdot acid. Let's pretend we're not even adding the fucking angel dust in there. Before my little fat fucking mind was developed, I know I'm going to have a problem down the line. I'm not a psychiatrist. I didn't go to doctor school. I don't know nothing. But you're telling me, giving a 12-year-old kid fucking titty pills, tranny pills, you're going to give some kid tranny pills at 12 and not fuck up his little mind? Did you not know that the 16-year-old had to sit in court with his fucking mother because he identifies as a fucking woman, but he's really a fucking man? If my kid, Tom Segura, Murphy, comes home and says to me, I identify as a man, I will start smacking him. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I identified as a savage. I still check the box for fucking male. Okay, I identify as a savage. I rob people. I put people in trunks of cars. I don't give a fuck. I am a savage. I still mark the box gender. Male. I like to put other. I'm a fucking savage fucking animal. But so how can you, really? You know, how can you,
Joey,
give your child? I don't give an
animal. They're doing it to kids that are like 7 and 6.
To give them titties? To do what?
Yeah, to start.
To do what?
To transition.
Like, I'm no fucking genius here, but I want you to think about this. Your little mind isn't even developed. Come back when you're 24. Oh, you want to be a woman? Come back when you're 24. Go out there and live like as a man until you're 21. So you mean to tell, how old do you have to be to join the service?
18.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the fucking boat here.
No, it's very.
Maybe they should put me in a fucking mental institution.
Dude, do you know I mean, you have a little kid, too. Like, I have a kid. Two kids, like, kids say crazy shit, too. And to, like, I think it's, like, people who want to transition, obviously, you're like, yeah, go ahead, man. But when it's, like, a child, it's...
I have nothing but love for LGBT. I understand it.
But I think it's...
I understand it. But I don't think a child before the age of 18 understands it.
I don't think so, either.
I don't think there's a grasp. I think that when they're 18, if they want to identify, they have to go through some type of program and take some type of testing at the age of 18.
8, 9, 10,
you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Come on, man. You don't know what you're talking about when you're 21. If you take a great look at your fucking life, you didn't have a crew at fucking 21. You were just flapping your lips like I was.
Yeah, of course.
You were just flapping. You were just picking up what people were saying at different fucking parties and flapping. What's the matter, Lee?
Yeah, you might have. I can't tell you. It's some.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There we go. Okay. I thought you unhit the microphone.
Think of some of the shit you did tonight. For a week.
Well, here's the thing, man. Think about if you do start transitioning at a really young age, and then you're like 25 or 30, and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, I did it way too soon. Or even, you could even be younger. You could be 19 and be like, why did you guys help me transition at 9 or 10? And then, you know, there's already evidence of that, of people who have done that and get suicidal, you know?
Go look at the statistics of transgender people at any age that make the conversion or the journey or whatever it's called. I don't mean to be rude.
Yeah.
Look at the rate of suicide there.
Yeah.
You know, unhappiness. Being unhappy is a motherfucker.
Totally.
Because it makes you think.
Yeah.
I don't ever like being unhappy. I don't like it anymore. I was unhappy for a long time. Wow. I know I'm at an age where I know what makes me happy, and I know what makes me unhappy. I know what I want to do, and I know what I don't want to do.
Isn't that the best?
It's 50%. They said nearly 14% of adolescents reported a previous suicide attempt, but then for people who go from female to male, it's 50.8%. And then from male to female, it's 41.8.
And I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a fucking idiot in these people's eyes. And this is what I live with. That it's not about... It's common sense.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's fucking common sense. You have... You know, I love it when they show the governor or whatever dressing up like the KKK and putting blackface on at the age of 23. I hate to tell you, you're a fucking idiot at the age of 23.
Definitely.
Your first year of college, you're a fucking moron with eyeballs. I'm talking about everybody. I don't care what kind of degree you have. You have no life experience.
No.
You've been in a college, you've been in a dorm, you've been in whatever the fuck you have. Yeah, you have a... This Friday nights is always date night in my house. If I'm in town, there's no comedy, no nothing. We leave at 6:30, we pick a restaurant, we take a ride. We're home by 9, 9:30. It's no big deal.
What about Sundays? You go out on Sundays?
No. No.
I know. I know the policy.
Sunday dinner with the family.
Who goes out on Sundays, Joey?
Who?
No, who goes? What type of person goes out on a Sunday?
Sunday what?
Just a Sunday night.
Well, there's three types of people. No. When you're a fucking professional,
yeah.
If you really want to sling dick and get your dick sucked and light your balls on fire, if you really want to party, it's Sunday and Thursday night. When I was doing coke, oh, Sunday night's a good night to pick up a piece of ass because she's been saying no all weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
She's been saying no since Thursday. She's been holding out. She went to Chico LaRue's house and snorted blow. You got a Sunday. She's nice and soft. She's already taken 20 punches to the head. You know what I'm saying? She's already Roseanne McGowan, whatever her name is. Rose McGowan. She's bound to say yes, okay? Couple fucking drinks, couple bluebirds, maybe fucking sleeping pill. You're getting your dick sucked. You know, Thursday night, you know, I never understood. When I was 18, I figured out not to go out on Friday nights. Before I left for Colorado, January of 1983, I was cut and was driving my friends crazy. They couldn't understand. Like, what do you do on Friday nights? You're up to something. What do you do? Go to a gay bar? I'm staying and watch TV because I went out Thursday night and got my dick sucked and snorted blow. Friday nights are for amateurs.
Thursday is the best.
Thursday is the best when you get down. But back going to Sundays, yeah, when you're partying, Sundays are good. But once you have a girlfriend and you start going steady with them and whatever, think about what this country was made of. Sunday fucking dinner.
Yeah.
4 o'clock. I don't give a fuck. Unless somebody's giving you $1 million, I guarantee if you look at statistics of people who eat dinner together on Sundays, how long the family stays together, it just makes sense. I never had a family. For years, I ignored this poor girl. For the first 3 years I dated this poor girl, I was never home.
Really?
Never home. I didn't want to come home because I was a fucking addict. I was telling my wife the other night, if I still snorted coke, I'd be on the road every weekend. Fuck the podcast. I'd just be on the road every weekend. Why not?
That's the place.
The party would start on fucking Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's the perfect fucking, the road, if you're an addict and you want to keep it quiet, the road's the way to do it. I mean, eventually you're going to make mistakes and buy an ounce of coke for an undercover agent, or you're going to get herpes, or you're going to end up like Mitch Hedberg. Eventually, that's going to happen to you.
Like Bert, yeah.
Like Bert.
Poor Bert. Leave Bert alone. Bert's trying. He's lifting weights with one arm. He's got a little Chinese kid with a camera. He's walking around, Belgium and shit like that, having a good time. I saw him last week. He got so fat. He looked Chinese. I didn't even know it was Bert. I thought it was a fat Chinaman and shit. And I looked and it was Bert with some kid. That alcohol is getting through
his face. Is all swollen.
His fucking head is swollen from those Budweiser. That fucking Tito's
he's all
vodka.
Red. He's all red.
Oh, no. He's a mess. He's a mess. I thought he was a fat chink. I saw him on Bert.com. I go, who's the fat chink? It was Bert. Lifting weights with some skinny fucking kid. Unbelievable. Leave him alone. He's back, right? He's back?
Yeah.
He's rested.
He got back last night at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, he's
You
done.
Saw him?
On Instagram, yeah.
Oh. God forbid he don't tweet about himself. He's on there all fucking day following himself.
He's like a fucking fifth grader.
Unbelievable.
I'm over here now and I'm buying a shirt.
He was at a bar. He made a video of him in a bar the other day that was just hilarious.
Oh, hanging out with people?
Yeah. He's fucking hilarious. He really is. And he walked
That is my nightmare, though. He'll tell the audience, like, let's go to this bar. The audience. And then he'll go party with the audience at a bar.
Gabriel took the whole audience to Denny's on Christmas night.
That I could get into. That I could get into.
He told the whole audience, I'll meet you at Denny's. 3,000 Mexicans.
He bought Denny's.
Everybody. everybody at Denny's Christmas night. Remember he does those Christmas Day shows?
Does he really?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
At Irvine, right?
In Irvine. He sells out two shows.
He's a savage, though. He fucking goes, he must do 280 shows a year. Still, more. I'm saying Gabe has no chill at all.
Did you see his tweet last night?
No.
Fuck all you motherfuckers. I went to Alaska and sold like... He sold out the whole state. Like,
I bet.
Even the fishing poles. They just had fishing poles. Everybody left. That show, what's the boat? The boat was docked. What's the Alaska show? Everybody, yeah, I don't know. He sold over.
I believe it.
Yeah, he tweeted it last night.
Let me check.
Comics are missing out.
But nice. he never slows down. Gabe goes hard, man. Gabe goes hard. And he, I mean, obviously it works. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying like that dude.
Remember, he started at an age with no Twitter.
Yeah, and built that following.
Listen, this, you know, I'm a Twitter, Facebook guy.
10,000.
10,000 in Alaska?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. That's crazy.
You know, what guy, you know, you look at these old bands. Like I told Lee one time about Aerosmith. Take Aerosmith, for example. Do you know how hard it was to break out of Boston? You had the Boston Celtics.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You had the Boston Bruins. The Red Sox were gods then, right? They were dick. But you had the Celtics and whatever. You got two tickets for the Celtics, or you want to see five guys with long hair?
Yeah.
Come on. And that's when they had Havlicek, JoJo, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking Russell, you know, that whole fucking dynasty. How does a band bust out without social media?
It's crazy.
You know, Gabriel, Sebastian.
Gabriel, by the way, also, like, I'm playing some big venues now, and sometimes, you know, there's, like, artwork in the hallways. I keep texting him. Like, I'll see in the hallway, like, Gabriel Iglesias, then I'll look at the date of, like, I'm saying a pretty big theater,
yeah,
2,500.
Yeah.
And it'll be, like, 2010. And I'm like, dude, you were doing this venue in 2010? He's like, yeah, I think I did it first in, like, 2008 or something. I'm like, God damn. I didn't realize how long he's been, you know, moving that many tickets. It's a long time, man. To maintain that for a decade is a big deal. It's a big deal.
I still remember him booking the bicycle club.
Gabe?
$35 on Thursday nights, and you had to get paid on Friday. You had to go back on Friday and get your money in the heat of traffic off the 710.
Jesus.
There was times you just said, keep the $35. I still remember when he lost his virginity on the plane. I went down. In those days, Rudy Moreno booked Wednesday in Tucson called Bugsy's. And you'd fly down every Wednesday, three comics, $1.50 a piece. You got a hotel room, and you got like $600 in food, because the guy weighed 800 pounds that booked the thing. He had a lump on his fucking neck. It was tremendous. He'd take you to the best Mexican places. But then they introduced a show named K Locos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, still? I do.
And he blew up on that. Him and George Lopez helped him. I think, I don't know the whole story, but he's been rocking it since then.
Dude, it's really impressive if you just want to study, you know, being a successful stand-up. What he's done is, it really is remarkable. To build that following before that social media, like build it off of like those shows and Comedy Central stuff, and like just have that loyal of a following and make it grow. He does arenas and amphitheaters and shit now. So it's gone the other way.
It was a couple weeks ago, but he was like, I remember coming to this city when I got 30 people at the club, and I think it was like 20,000. He's like, there was 20 people at the club, and now I did 20,000. That's pretty cool.
Do you see, I mean, his special, he shot it in Houston where the Rockets play.
Yeah.
And he sold out two shows there. You know what I mean? Like back to back 18,000 seat or whatever it is, 20 shows. I mean, that's 40,000 people in an hour. It's really fucking crazy, man.
When you study it, dog, I'll tell you who I give props to. I had a conversation with him one night, and this is exactly how the conversation went. It was in 98 when Houston was the hottest club in the country.
Yeah.
And I was walking into the Laugh Factory, and who's walking in but Dane Cook?
Yeah.
And I go, Dane, how is Houston? And he looked at me and he goes, it's a great club. Just too many nights. I got to figure out how to condense my nights. And next thing you know, he was at that bar every Tuesdays. and they were just there to see him. In those days, they didn't want to see anybody else. I don't give a fuck what anybody tells you.
Yeah.
Everybody went there to bomb.
To Dublin's or?
Dublin's.
Yeah.
Early at Dublin's, you just went there to bomb. I still remember watching 3-4 comics bomb. I ate a bag of dicks. And I said, there's no reason to go back there again.
He would just torch the room.
He would destroy them. It would just be amazing to watch.
I had him on last week on a podcast. And we were talking about that. And I was trying to tell the listening and viewing audience, like, because I used to go to those shows. I didn't get on. I remember asking Jay. I gave Jay Davis a VHS. I was like, he was like, yeah, like looking past me. He's like, sure, man. Like talking like to other people. I was like, fuck. But I gave him my VHS tape. And I sat through a few of those shows. Dane, like the fucking walls would shake. I remember sitting there and being like, what in the fuck, man? Like it was so destructive. It might be like the hardest I've ever seen anybody
kill. No, I was there. I saw it. And it's not that you were jealous. It's that you were defeated. You didn't want to go back. Like you're like, there's no reason to come here. I already know this is Dane's room. I'm not going to ever repeat this.
I did an East
anybody.
LA room one time where I bombed like that. I was like, shit. It was like all Mexicans and all Mexican comics. And I went up there like 2-3 years in, just ate shit. I was trying to do crowd work. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this? Someone goes, who cares? I was like,
oh, yeah, no stage.
And then I got off stage. And the guy hosted was like, damn, like that was wild how bad he did. Like he was talking about it. And then I was like sitting backstage. I was like, fuck. And then I go, hey, man, so can I come back, you know, like maybe in a month or something? He was like, you'll come back here? Like in front of everyone, he was like, he said he'll come back here. I was like, God damn, because I just ate shit so hard. I never went back, but you know, I was asking for it.
So I met you in 98.
No, after that. No, I wasn't even out here then.
When did you start comedy?
02.
02 is when you started.
Yeah.
And when did Rogan go on the tour that you opened for?
07.
That man tour.
Yep.
And you were already in Ohio.
No, I was out here. I was living out here. Okay. Yeah, and I opened for him on that, and then I really fucking I met you the night before he shot a special in Columbus, because I remember he invited me out, Ari, and then he was like, "Oh, Diaz couldn't make it, so Diaz is coming on another flight." Diaz walks into the hotel in his tracksuit. He was like, "Dog, I gotta tell you something. This fucking asshole on the flight. He's like, I almost got arrested today." And he fucking said that he was on a flight and that he was first class and they put his food down and the guy in front of him leaned back. So Joey shoved his seat and the guy leaned back again. He goes, hey, like, you're fucking leaning on my food, man. So the guy did it again. So Joey stood up and went around and stood above the guy and the guy was like, hey, man, I'm just like leaning back. He goes, you're leaning back on my food. And the guy like went to adjust or like stand up. And Joey put his hand on his shoulder and was like, you don't got to do nothing right now. Just sit here, sit straight. And then when you got off the flight, you said there was two Columbus PD officers on the jet bridge. And they were like, Jose Diaz. And you're like, and I got this weed under my nuts.
I really fucking did.
And then, and this is, by the way, this is me meeting him. I don't know anything about him. I was like, oh, shit. And then you said you just were like very polite, like, oh, yeah, no, you know, the guy, this and that. You kind of talked them down and they were like, all right, you know, good to go. Got off. You're like, this guy was a total fucking.
You have a memory and a half.
I do.
That was exactly how it went down. And here's the crazy thing. Like, he kept doing it to me. Like, after I said to him, your chair is broken. His chair was broken to start off with.
Okay.
So now when he would lean back, I really opened up as a gentleman. He was an LA cunt. Mm-hmm. He was like a set designer. He had that smell to him as a casting director.
Yeah.
Or an agency at a boutique agent.
Yeah.
He was one of those scumbags.
Yeah, those are the worst.
And he looked at me like, and when I put my hand on his shoulder, again, he's one of those faggy people that yelled assault.
Yeah.
So when I sat down,
he's like, you assaulted
he got
me.
Up and went to the stewardess. And now the stewardess is giving me the Malouk eye. All the stewardess is giving me the fucking Malouk eye. And I'm like, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
And in those days, I had my sleep apnea bag, and I had, and at this time, I was getting in trouble at airports every other week. Every other week, I was having a beef at an airport.
Really? Just
between the cocaine and my attitude.
Yeah.
And it was just a bunch of things that attributed to it. And I remember when we got off the plane, the cops were waiting for me, and I'm stinking a reefer. Because after 3 hours, even with the anti-stink bag, the shit would leak out. Those anti-stink bags you could buy, they really do sell them. I'm not kidding you people. They sell them down in Hollywood where they wouldn't stink. But after 2 hours, the weed was so pungent that you could smell it on your body. And the two cops stopped me. And the faggy guy was standing there going, you know, you should put him in jail and all this. And I'm like, I didn't do nothing to go to jail. I tried to be a man and explain something to you. And right in front of the cops, I'm like, but you were too much of a cunt, an L.A. cunt. And the cops kind of like, oh, I get what's going on. I go,
yeah. This guy's a fucking cunt. Because they're blue-collar guys.
So
you know?
He walked away.
Yeah.
And they held me there so we couldn't be at the luggage together. And that was it. But there's a God. See, after these motherfuckers, I don't know whether he sent his son to kill Jesus. I don't know whether he's Chinese. I don't know whether he's a Buddha. I don't know if he's a Hindu. There's a God. Guess what happened a year later? I saw that same bitch across going to Columbus on a Friday with me.
Are you serious?
And I just eyeballed him, and he made eye contact and tried to change the eye contact. And one time I went up to the bathroom, and what I did this time was went over the stewardess first. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I went up and gave her a compliment. I love your shoes.
Yeah.
You know, if she's black, I'm ripping down the Beyonce poster. They go bananas. And then when I count the way back, oh, yeah, I tell them when they're black, I go, listen, when I get home, I'm ripping the Beyonce poster down. They go fucking bananas. I go fucking bananas.
That's quite a line.
Come on, Doug. It always gets them. It gets their pussy. They go fucking bananas. They go nuts. They want to show you their titties like National Geographic. You know? That's how they got those fucking poor African women to show you their titties on National Geographic. So on the walk back, I said, hey, remember me? And dog, he lost all the color in his face. There was no more stewardess. There was no Columbus cops. So I just sat like he was in row 3A. And I was like in 4B. So for 2 hours, I just tapped my hand and stared at him. And every time he would look at me, I was eyeballing him, giving him two Maluk eyes. It was tremendous. He got off that plane and ran.
I bet.
He ran off that fucking plane. And I giggled all the way to whatever because there's a God in the fucking sky, you dumb fuck. You fucking dummy acting that way. I was a gentleman a couple weeks earlier. I'm going to Newark. I always take an aisle seat. Man, I don't say a word to nobody on a plane. You know, I don't talk to nobody on a plane. I don't start it. I don't ask them where the weather. Nothing. I sat next to Barkley last year, the whole flight. I didn't say nothing to him until we got off.
What do you say?
I loved you in Philadelphia. That's it. We walked off the plane. One time it was me, Sebastian, and John Legend. Sitting right next to each other. I don't talk to nobody. I don't need to talk. I don't need to take a picture with nobody. I need to do nothing. I get in my fucking seat. This is not first class. This is United, LAX to Newark. I'm sitting there. The plane lands. The plane's about to land, and I take my phone out. And I turn the phone on. And the guy in the window seat says, and I look at him, and he goes, turn the phone off. A German guy. There's two German guys sitting next to me. They were fucking, you know, whatever the fuck language they talk. Nazi hate, you know, Jew haters, whatever the fuck they are. And they're both sitting there fucking hocking each other to death, fucking hee-hoing, whatever the fuck they do with their hands and shit. So, finally, can you believe this? He goes, huh? Not even excuse me.
Yeah.
Sir, we might get in trouble. He goes, turn the phone off. And I go, what? And he goes, turn the phone off. And the guy in the middle goes, did you not hear him? Turn the phone off. I go, bro, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? I go, don't ever fucking tell me to do anything. Go fuck you and fuck him. And they're both going, wait till we get off the plane. We'll see. I go, well, we'll fucking see. And the stewardess is like, is there a problem? And I go, this fucking hump tried to tell me to turn the fucking phone off. And she's like, control your language and all this. I'm like, no, I'm not controlling my language. Don't ever fucking tell somebody. Don't you ask them. And the guy kept talking. And finally I go, what if I got up and just kicked you against that fucking door right now? Because you're in the last seat. I wouldn't be saying a word if I was you. Because if I start swinging, I could be a fucking madman. Why are you talking if you're in the third seat in the fucking aisle? All I see you is holding your hands up and me stomping on you. That's all I see. You got a no-win situation. You could be Johnny MMA. I get the first drop on you. That leg weighs 265. Once it goes into you, I'm going to keep putting my leg into you and kicking you and your fucking Hitler buddy here. So the fucking stewardess comes, separates us. Because I told him.
How long ago was this?
This had to be.
Last week.
No. Around that time. This was like an incident. Okay. I kept having. The Sopranos was hotter than hell.
Yeah.
At that time. So I was having different fucking incidents every other fucking week. Some of them were good. Some of them were people busting my balls about The Soprano, that you were the guy.
Take Big a puss, picture. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like an ongoing. So now they separate us on the plane. Because I told the guy, what if I started kicking you right now? What are you going to do? Are you retarded? You can't be that fucking stupid talking all that shit in the fucking third seat. I wouldn't say a word. I'd wait till I get in the hallway where I got an even chance. But that's how stupid you are. So the stewardess comes over. She gets me up, and sure enough, you got to sit here until the police have been notified.
What?
God damn it. So now I'm aggravated because my friend, in those days, we had no dough. You had to have your friend circle like a fucking strutz around the airport. So I'm like, you know, my friend's waiting for me. They go, no, you're the last guy to board. You're unboarding with the pilot. So we get up, and I forgot. I'm in New Jersey. So as soon as I see the cops, all I got to do is get to them first. All I got to do is get to that cop first and let him hear me. So that's exactly what I did. I went right up to the cop, and I go, this fucking guy. The cop's like, what's your problem here? This fucking guy tried to tell me to turn the phone off, and the guy started with his fucking white shit. Well, the phone is not supposed to be turned on. I'm like, shut up. I'm like, first of all, you're the fucking away team, motherfucker. Once I said that, it was on. I go, you're the away team. You got no say in this. This is Jersey. You don't tell somebody from Jersey to turn the fucking phone off. Fuck this guy. Fuck him. Don't ever fucking talk to somebody like that. And the cops were like, he's got you there.
Yeah.
So the one cop walked them and the one cop walked with me. And I just kept saying shit. Remember, you're the away team, motherfucker. Don't ever forget that shit. We got you. I can make these guys turn you in and rape you to death. You're missing right now. You're missing. This could be like Pulp Fiction at the end when you call the two hillbillies to fucking. This is Jersey. These two cops could take you on a long ride, and you'll never come back. We saw them evacuating the plane in Newark, and that's it. We don't know nothing. No, seriously. I had a bunch of incidents. I forget how many incidents.
Seriously?
One time I'm fucking walking on a Newark airport with a bag of reefer, and there's 10 cops coming at me with those dogs.
Oh, shit.
And I had to go into a fucking men's bathroom, take the weed out, and I hit in the toilet paper roll. You know me, dog. And I went back out there, and they're barking and shit, barking all around. I fucking took the fucking bag back, put it in my nutsack, and ran outside. Oh, I was having another time. I was somewhere smoking a fucking joint. A cop pulled up on me at an airport. I'm outside smoking the fucking joint, and they're like, "What do you think you're doing?" They pulled me aside. I got pulled over in Detroit one time.
Wait, so what happened when
the DEA?
Really?
Yeah, coming from Miami to Detroit. Please.
So when you were smoking, though, because, you know, one of my friends, I know, like, the whole world, you know, has changed with weed. One of my friends is so casual that, like, whenever we're traveling somewhere, he's just, like, smoking on any street without ever looking or anything. I'm like, you don't even think about it at all?
I don't think about it.
Really? Any street?
It's America.
I know.
And number one, is America. Number two, if you're a cop and you're really concerned with marijuana.
I'm not concerned with it.
And pulling you over and talking to you. I don't have the decency to go to a park where kids are playing and spark up. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about go outside right now and spark up a joint. I've had that for 20 years.
You always were like
before
that.
Before the law, before the fucking paper.
What did that cop say to you when he said, what do you think you're doing?
What are you smoking?
And you're like,
and I go, a little weed. I get anxious at airports and bye, and he just said, turn it off and throw it away.
That was it.
That's it. just be honest with them. Don't show them a fucking weed shirt. Don't tell them about your Fourth Amendment to have liberty. Yeah. Mind your business. Just tell them the truth.
But did you always, like, if someone was like that to me on a plane, I would have anxiety about yelling. I want to yell at them, and I would think about what I wanted to say, but I would never go back at them.
No, I'm an adult. You cannot say that shit to me. There's a way to speak to people. You can't tell somebody to turn the fucking phone off.
You can't fucking do that.
You say, excuse me, sir, I don't think they want you to have the phone on. Then it's my decision after that. I'm still going to turn it on. I love in the old days when they'd say, there's still a phone on the plane. How do you know?
Yeah.
That's for white people to believe. Well, there's still a phone on. Check your phone. I've had the phone on the whole fucking time.
Everyone's phone was on.
Yeah. And they try to scare you. Like somebody. Yeah. The pilot says there's a phone on. And people would double check. And I know my phone. I've never been good. Listen. Let's be honest. I told somebody this story. Let's be strictly, completely honest with each other. When I got thrown out of Catholic school, my mother made me a deal at the age of 10. She goes, you can take care of yourself or I can take care of you. If I take care of you, it's going to be under fucking communistic Cuban rules. If you take care of you and you don't slip up, we don't ask no questions. So she was already raising me to be on my own.
Yeah.
My wife of 19 years, who I love with all my heart, knows two things about me. Don't ask me where I'm going. And just pretty much, don't ask me anything. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
If you want to keep your relationship as a friendship with me, don't ask me no questions. That's it. Because I'm not going to tell you the truth. Even if I'm going to murder somebody, I'll tell you whatever. The other night she goes, where are you going? To see a man about a dog. That's my common sentence to people. What does that mean? Don't ask.
Yeah.
I'm going to the store. What's the big fucking, you know what I'm saying?
It is my pet peeve, man.
It is. It's
the questions.
Because I've been raised without it.
I know.
You know, I've been having a problem with certain situations. I don't like when people try to push shit on me. Don't push shit on me because you're not going to get nowhere. If there's anybody who does what he wants to do from the morning to night, it's me. And I've been doing it since I was 10. Sorry, you're not going to change me. You know, I could tell you thousands of examples. You're not going to lock me in. I don't like being locked in. I'll tell you 2 days before. If you keep bugging me, I'm not going to do it. Ask me, I'll give you a time of the day and I'll fucking be there. It's weird to explain to people. And now that we're parents, what time? You know how much I appreciate just to get you for an hour, Tom?
No.
You have not one child, but two children. People don't really understand the value of your time.
Oh, yeah. It's the most important.
How many stupid requests do you get every week from people?
A lot.
And you try to be fair and honest with them.
Yeah.
But unless you have a child, you can't comprehend it. How do I know? Because I didn't comprehend Ralphie. When Ralphie come to town, I go, hey, man, let's smoke pot. And he go, no, I got to take my kid to the zoo. With all the money you have to go to the zoo? That was my thinking.
Yeah.
That's not my thinking anymore as a parent.
Because you know.
It's not about money. Yeah. It's just sitting with them watching. I sat with her this morning for an hour before I came here, playing that shit out in the fucking yard. Her mother bought her the whole fucking kit, the torture Joey kit, the horseshoes with the fucking thing where they have to throw up and land in the circle. I did all that shit this morning. Didn't cost us a dime. They just want time.
No, they do. They just want to play with you.
And people really don't understand that concept anymore. You know, I have to have rules. I go out to the store Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. But why can't you come Sunday and Wednesday? Because I got a wife and a kid, dog.
Yeah.
And they're more important than your stupid fucking night. That's why. They're more important. You want me to tell you the truth? Yeah, they are. I don't give a fuck about your stupid fucking night. It's just so many, you know, can you come to Marina Del Rey and do a podcast?
No.
I got to be honest with you. No, that's 4 hours.
No, my thing is no to most things.
That's 4 hours during the week. I got to be back here every day. By 3:30, Tom Segura, I'm at attention. Like, you see those Chinese people, how they stand out there? You see the Koreans, how they're out there, they don't move a muscle?
Yeah.
When fucking Kim Jong-un is talking, that's me at 3:30. I got a master, and she's six. She's six. I try to watch 15 minutes of World News Tonight with David Muir, and then I do whatever she wants to do, which 3 days a week is Muay Thai, and then the other 2 days is swimming. And today's swimming. I should be swimming right now.
You see they gave the boot, by the way, to the CBS guy? He's out. CBS anchor.
Which one?
I forget his fucking name. He did the nightly news. They were giving the gig to the lady from the morning show. They're swapping him out.
The black chick.
No. Mm-mm. The she's like a white middle-aged lady. I fucking forget her name, but she's taken over the CBS Evening News. I mean, Muir is ABC, but I'm saying like it's a big switch up, man.
Big. I gotta ask you a question. How have you maintained being so cool the last couple of years? I mean, you have a great career going. I don't know how many fucking Netflix has a poster of you in their office. When you go to Netflix office, like the president of comedy has a picture of you with your dick out. He kisses her every day. He's like a little kid, Michael Jackson, little dead dick. It looks like one of those chachicha. You know what a chachicha is? Those eight little sausages that come in a can. White people call them Vienna sausages. Yeah. That's what my nipple looked like. I went to cryotherapy one time. Dog, my fucking nipple fucking... looked like a chachicha. I went to cryotherapy in Columbus, Ohio. The black guy's like, I don't know if you want to go in there, dog. A motherfucker hasn't been in there in weeks. Because when you go to cryotherapy in Ventura, it's every 3 minutes or something in there, so it warms up. Like the other day, I went in there early, like 10:15. Ooh.
That shit.
That was the longest 3 minutes of my life. I threw more punches than Donald Cerrone did. Dog, I was throwing fucking punches for my life.
Is that what you do in there?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? What options do you have?
But you move.
I go in. The song is 3.5 minutes. I put on Slaves and Bulldozers, mm-hmm. and I always have to have. You can't have bad music in there.
No,
you go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta have Madonna. You gotta move.
Yeah,
I put on Get Into the Groove.
Yeah,
or Burning Up for Your Love, and I'm dancing. So when I go during the week now, you have to go at a weird time, like Sundays. You go in at 12:15. You're going to freeze to death in there. So
that first minute is so easy.
So what I do is, the first 30 seconds for me is just standing. Mm-hmm. I take the robe off, I hang it up, and I just stand there. And I let the cold hit me, and I focus on breathing. That's the most important thing about the crowd chamber, that they don't tell you. That's why as soon as I went into a crowd chamber, the first thing I did was call Dr. Belice. Because in Dr. Belice's book, it says about the age from 13 to 16 is when you lose your natural ability to breathe. Something happens traumatic and your timing goes off. So you forget how to inhale through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. That thing forces you. If not, you will have a panic attack in there.
Yeah.
So the first 30 seconds when you go, you would just align your breathing. Listen to the music and just get your breathing in. And know that for 3 minutes, you can't stop. I go in there for 3.5 minutes.
Do you really?
Yeah, 3.5.
Damn.
I started at 3:15.
You started at 3:15?
Yeah, the first time I went in there with 3:15, I thought I was going to fucking die.
I started with 2.
I started at 3:15 and worked myself to 3:30.
God damn.
At 3:15, I know to turn around and start putting my robe on.
Okay.
I always leave the one arm fucked up to force me to adjust to the stress. Like if it's cold, I want to get adjusted. So I just don't. I always leave the arm tucked.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I think so. Yeah.
To give me a harder time to get out of there.
Okay.
So at three, once it says 30 seconds, I throw punches for another 15. I count them off, and in my head, I stand there and I very relaxedly take the thing off. I don't want to do that because now you're creating panic in yourself.
That's true.
So I force myself to take it off as cold as I am. Pull the sleeve down. And put one arm in, one arm, and when it turns off, she opens the door, I come out, and she fucking tests my body. But I work it.
I love that feeling when you leave. It's worth it for it, man. The build.
Like I might go today, because I'm hungover.
Yeah?
I'm hungover, just, you know, sleep hungover.
Yeah.
We get like, I did an edible the other night that was so fucking strong that my wife woke me up at 20-2 on the couch. And I thought, she goes, you had a look on your face like I was a demon. I go, bro, I passed out and was dreaming about food.
You were?
Like when she woke me up, I was like, oh my God, thank God you woke me up. I was having a dream about shit. She went in the kitchen and filled up a water bottle at 20-2. And I walked straight to the kitchen, opened up the fucking cabinet, and there was a half a jar of Pringles. I just started pringling it. I just ate the fucking Pringles. Then I made a ham and cheese sandwich. I ate that, and then I went right to bed. I was so fucking high. Like the next morning, I woke up and I saw the American cheese. Because when they slice at the butcher, he puts paper in it.
Uh-huh.
And I saw it. I go, who ate the cheese? Like, I go, oh my God. I ate the fucking cheese last night.
How strong was the edible?
100 milligrams. They're stronger than that.
Oh, my God.
I took two of them to New York to shoot this movie, and I took one of them one night when I had insomnia. Slept like a baby. And then the other night I took on the flight back.
You took the 100 milligram on the flight back?
On the flight back, and I started freaking out that the plane was going to go down. And then they pulled the plane over to the side because of the rain in the Midwest, and they kept saying, if we don't leave in 30 seconds, in 30 minutes, we're probably going to have to cancel a flight till tomorrow morning. I'm high as a fuck, and I'm thinking maybe I took the wrong plane. I switched, and maybe because I was supposed to leave Saturday.
You're out of your mind at this point.
Out of my mind. I'm an hour in with earphones. The plane was at the gate for half hour, and they made the edible go up, and then we drove around all over fucking New York City with Kennedy Airport. We were cutting off Ubers. I'm like, where the fuck is this plane going? And I saw little Arabs pulling over to the side. Fuck you. I'm trying to drive Uber X. We're in that fucking plane. After a half hour, I'm thinking we're in the air. This is how high I am, Tom Segura.
Jesus, man.
Now, DirecTV, you know, Mint. Yeah. JetBlue has the DirecTV.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching the TV. I'm focused on the radio. And I'm thinking we're in the air, and I open up and I see 20 other planes. I go, where the fuck are we? We have been driving for an hour.
Seriously?
I don't know where he went around Kennedy Airport. We're flying around for fucking an hour. And I'm like, where the fuck is this pilot going? I thought we were in the air already. I swear to my daughter's grave, I was so high, I thought we were in the fucking
air. I took 20 milligrams on my last flight to New York, and that was too fucking much for me.
Really? 20 milligrams will do something to you?
First, do something.
Yeah. I took 50 on the flight there. No, man. Fucked up.
I was really fucked up, dude.
Those little stars, those green stars that I bought, the 10 milligrams a piece.
Yeah.
I took, because I bought those too.
Yeah.
You control your high.
Yeah.
The capsules, Tripoli. Thank God. 10-4 podcast. Give him a shout out. My man, Sam Tripoli. I called him Sunday.
Fighting crime.
And I go, Tripoli, I need another bottle of those things. He showed up with a case.
They're good.
Sammy, he gets down.
So fucking now we're on the guy goes, all flights going south are available to take off, but all flights going westbound are stuck. We're on hold until they open up. And now this edible's getting stronger and stronger. And now I'm thinking to myself, I was really supposed to leave at 5:33 in the morning and get to LA at 8:30. That was my original flight. But me being the fucking pig that I am, I go, I gotta get out of here early. I wanna be home in the daytime for her tomorrow.
Yeah.
Instead of getting home tired, let me get home. I'm on that fucking plane, Tom Segura, and I'm like, you know, I was okay. This is how people die. This is how people die, and this is how people lose bets. All week you wanted the Mets. At the last minute you call the Yankees and you lose. The Mets were gonna win. That was your first fucking option. Why'd you switch?
Yeah.
So I started thinking that way. And I'm like, holy fuck, this plane's going to go down. And I start thinking about my daughter, Lee, my family, my friends. I was that high.
Damn.
And I'm like, how can I get off this plane? And all of a sudden he goes, all right, we've been approved. And I'm like, God damn it. And as the plane was taking off, I go, I can't even listen. I was so high, I couldn't even hear music no more.
Yeah.
Like the music was making me panic. So I took the earphones off. And I go, I'm just going to watch TV without the sound.
Yeah.
So what a mistake. I press CNN and desk, and it shows the plane went down off Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, fuck.
And at first, I'm like, and I'm like, oh, fuck it. A plane went down tonight. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he took my place.
He took it, yeah.
So I was asking you, how are you keeping your head with all the great success you've had the last couple of years? Because you're still one of the sweethearts of my world.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I think having a family keeps you grounded, right? Like, we have kids that, you know, your family, you just... That's like the most important thing. And then, I don't know, I feel lucky. I feel fortunate to have opportunities, you know what I mean? To get to play the shows, the big shows. And you just feel like, you know, I think also maintaining working the same way that I always worked is, for me, like comforting. You know what I mean? Like when I was like a $1,200, $1,500 a week act, I would just... go on the road, do my shows. I had like a routine, right? Like just, and I do the exact same thing. I just, bigger venue, but I prepare for touring the same way. I tour the same way. I think that keeps me, like, I just think of it as the same thing as the $1,500 week at, you know what I mean? Like, prepare the same way, just more people are at the show.
How much are you traveling now?
It's like the last few weeks were super busy, so now I'm off for a few weeks. I got an easy week next week. I have a Riverside theater show, and then Saturday Vegas, and that's it. Fly home Sunday morning, and I'm done. So that's the only show for the next few weeks. And then it picks up again in June, but then I have July, 3 weeks in July off. And then August, September, October, November are pretty busy, like at least.
How's your December? 2 weeks.
December's, I do one thing at the beginning of it, like four shows, and then I do New Year's in Hawaii.
When do you shoot another special?
November.
Where at?
In Austin, at Austin City Limits.
No shit.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Nah, it's been a hell of a ride for you, man.
It has.
I've seen it since day one.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
I've seen it for all of us.
Yeah, know? Everyone. This whole circle of friends, like the way that this has turned out is nuts. You know what I mean? There's like, it's expanding, but like the circle that I consider like, you know, that I'm close to, buddies with, you, Joe, Ari, Bert, like what's happened is with podcasting and with stand-up, this is the biggest era of stand-up ever. Stand-up's never been more popular. I'm saying across the board. You know, like I was talking to a promoter last week about it because you forget. I forget. He's like, you know, like 15 years ago, he goes, do you know how many theater acts there were in comedy? He's like five. You know, it was like Cosby, Carlin, you know, whoever, like Seinfeld. Big. You had to be like a fucking huge, well-known name to be a theater comic. He goes, now? He goes, pull up any theater list. He's like, there's fucking 200 comedy shows a year at these theaters. So it's the best time to have ever have things going well for you in comedy. We've never, it's definitely, I mean, I can't reference it from memory, but like, it's got to be crazier than the 80s boom that people talked about.
Where do you want to take it? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you want to be like Gabriel doing arenas and Kevin Hart? Do you feel like...
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted in that, like, I've done four parts in movies in the last year, you know, from a big budget film all the way down to like a micro budget film.
You just shot a film also recently.
I just shot a movie 2 weeks ago. I had like 5 days or something, 6 days.
Here in town.
Here in town, which is
thank God
the best. I like movies way more than I like television. I love the whole layout of movies. I like that movies have a schedule and a wrap date and that it's over so you can see. Like, I love the finality of a movie schedule. I love the storytelling aspect of it. I just like it more.
Before you got here, Lee and I were talking about scheduling. I have a big problem with comedy scheduling anymore. I have a big cop problem with comedy touring in this town and how it ends. I have a big fucking problem with it. I always have. I do not, as a comic, my opinion, ever start comedy to be on the road 50 fucking weeks a year. Not at all. Not 40, not 30.
You had this perspective, though.
Since day one.
Yeah.
I did not like it. I did not like it. If you live in fucking Hollywood, we live in Hollywood for a reason. Let me tell you what the reason is, okay? The reason is, do I want the Joey Diaz show? At the end of the day, if you really sit here and think about it, Tom Segura, I know you sold the show last year and I sold the show, but in hindsight, I don't want a fucking show. Okay, and neither do you. You know why? Because it sucks the blood out of you and turns you into a vampire. Now, if Chicha Bastich had a show and he wants to make me a janitor and he guarantees me 6 episodes out of 10 episodes, I cancel 10 weeks of comedy work. And for 10 weeks, I shoot that TV show, I do my podcast, and I work out at the store.
Mm-hmm.
When that show wraps, I go on the road fresh. Fresh. You go fresh. You do that for a year or two. This is the way it got when I got here. When I got here, it was completely different than what it is now. Then you did your 10 episodes again, and guess what? Somebody offered you a movie.
Yeah.
So now somebody called you and said, from April 8th to May 6th, we shoot this movie. We really don't have the dates. Cancel comedy.
Yeah.
It's off the fucking plate. Do not bother me. Do not talk to me. We have nothing to talk about. So now, instead of you working constantly year-round, Because where do you work out your material for a Netflix special? On the road.
Yeah.
So now they get to see it again. That doesn't make sense to me.
No.
That doesn't make sense to me. That I turn on your Netflix special and I know 20 out of the 45 minutes that you're saying. Doesn't make sense to me. Never made sense to me. I want to see your special and go, oh, I've never heard this from top to fucking bottom. Ah, he said that when I saw him a couple weeks ago in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want that. I'd rather do those and then wrap yourself around 3 weeks in clubs that nobody will fucking see yet, that they don't matter. I don't want to say what cities so nobody gets insulted. And then you shoot your fucking special. And then after you shoot your fucking special, you go on the TV show for 10 weeks and put the pen back on it. Get the fucking feather with the chicken blood out. And now it all balances out. And at the end of the year, we're not burnt out on the stand-up. You're not burnt out on the movie. Because when you wrap a movie, you're like, thank God this is over.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? I don't give a fuck if you're working with Olivier. After 6 weeks of long days and driving and whatever, you know, it gets fucking sick of it.
Yeah.
TV, I'm shooting a movie in New York. Mm-hmm. And you just said the magic words.
Yeah.
I don't mean to insult nobody. Big difference between a set in L.A. and a set in New York. Big difference. You eliminate the cunty aspect. There's no managers or agents on that set.
No.
The set I'm working on now?
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck if you're Olivia. You ain't getting on there. Okay? So it's just a director-writer situation with producers. And they work in New York. Nobody stops and says, Tom, when you did that line, it was so brilliant. There's none of that shit.
Nothing.
You just shoot.
Go.
The last two or three things I've shot have been television. And I got to be honest with you, and I'm not sounding like I'm trying to be as honest with the audience and with you as I can. On the ride home, I wanted to put a gun to my throat with TV.
Yeah.
TV is something that we don't want. It's sold to us. They sell us a number. They tell us what you're going to make per episode. Our dick gets hard. And by the third week, you're losing your mind.
Yeah.
Because you have a college kid telling you what's funny. Bitch, did you do Philadelphia with Bill Burr that time when I was getting thrown bagels at? No.
Yeah.
Then shut your fucking mouth. Fuck you and your Saturday Night Live watching fucking cunty faggot ass. Okay? Fuck you with your mad TV and all that. When I was a five beta, I watched Saturday Night Live. That's not funny. And that's what you're weaned on. We're bringing the heat. Why do you think Chappelle canceled the Chappelle show? You think he canceled because he was on crack? No. Because eventually you get sick and tired of people who don't know your craft
telling you
about your fucking craft.
That's the worst.
Okay?
Yeah.
When you do TV, after the third episode, they're selling you shit that you've never even heard of. But I have two kids. Yeah, but we want you to have a boy and a girl, and the one kid's missing an eye, and the other kid's a fucking tranny. And you're like, I didn't want that. That's not what Tom Segura is about. That's why we have a hard time with TV.
Yeah.
That's why. This movie I'm working on, I'm loving it right now. And that was a schedule I was brought up on.
Yeah, I like it.
But to live in L.A., look at where those comics are. They're dead.
You know what I'm thinking of doing? The only thing that really sucks about feature business movies is, like, the business of it is horrible. Like, trying to get something going is like a fucking...
For yourself.
Yes.
Like, to make a Tom Segura movie.
Fucking it's Tom, the worst.
I got bad news for you and I got good news for you.
Yeah.
That's all great and dandy, and we try.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, we all want to sell a show and be like Louis C.K. You get to edit it and cut it myself and I'll do all that shit. You know what the chances are on that?
Yeah.
That's six dudes they do that with. And they got to be in love with you. And those are the people. I mean, Louis C.K. was a funny guy that got that privilege. The privilege they give to those people, the unfunny ones.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, all I want to do at this point in my life, you got a recurring job for me on a job, on a show.
Great,
I come in, a janitor, a neighbor that comes in with underwear on. I hit your wife in the face with a dick. And you go home.
A nice show.
You go home. You go home and it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You move on from show to show. And over the years, look at these people that are worthless. Look at every year. There's a new show on Fox. Why don't you just cancel three shows?
Yeah.
You've just been on three shows.
Dude, shows aren't the same anymore, though.
They're garbage.
They don't mean anything
anymore. They don't mean anything. Did you see how many shows they cut yesterday?
All the time, man. Every week.
No, Variety cut. Yesterday, I saw them Variety on Twitter. They must have cut 30 shows.
And you know what the other crazy thing is? You used to not. There used to be no such thing as somebody being like, yeah, I'm on this show. You would go like, what show? They say the name of the show. You'd be like, oh, I know that show. Dude, now people say shows. I'm like, what's that? And they're like, that's in its sixth season. I'm like, I've never heard of that
TV show. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, when I got the longest shot, I realized that TV didn't matter. People would tell me they don't want to talk to people on TV. They want to talk to people who are in the movies.
Yeah.
I believe in one thing in stand-up comedy. First of all, I like being fresh when I do stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
not burned out. I really love being fresh. I really love wanting to go out there and hug the people after the show. Once you don't want to hug the people after the show, take pictures of them, don't do it. You don't really want to do this, you know. I'm not saying every weekend, but I'm saying I don't want it to be. I believe in what Winston Churchill says, you know, when you go from area to area with excellence. I like podcasting because I don't have to go out that extra week a month. I like movies because then like that, you get to do several different things and you're fresh for all of them. If you told me right now, Joey, I picked up a show for 10 weeks, I'm definitely writing into six. I'm mentally prepared for that. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited to drive to Fox. I know where I'm going to eat bagels. I know where I'm going to do jiu-jitsu on the days we work late. I know where I can kickbox. I have a friend that lives, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you turn it into your life. I don't want to shoot a Fox show if my agent's calling me saying, why don't you book a Friday that week? Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Let's not book anything so we can avoid the drama, so we know where we are for 10 weeks. That was all I ever wanted. I want this to be broken up. I do not want to be on the road for it. Rogan didn't go on the road all that shit. Rogan goes on the road when he wants to.
He does it.
Because he's got a vault downstairs.
Yeah, he's got it.
He did it the right way. He did two shows.
He's got it like really down work-wise. He really only works where he wants to work, when he wants to do it.
There's a big difference between being hot and then one day you go cold, like the names we spoke about before the show.
Yeah.
And now you got to go out there to keep the lights on.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Guys, that's a grind. The guys you see on tugboats now, what do you call it, the ship
comics? Cruise ships.
Cruise ships, yeah. Those tugboats. They're ready to hang them. There's going to be a bunch of Brodies the next couple of years in those tugboats. Every weekend, they're going to come back with a new Brody. We're going to be having celebrations on ships for fucking years because you could just take so much of that.
The cruise
when
ship?
When you walk out of your room and you see three people, you just that's the Brody fucking, that's like that Scientology boat that got banked last week because of the measles. Those poor motherfuckers. That ship shit, can you imagine? That's how, you know how fortunate we are? Bro, every time my feet touch the ground in the morning while I'm pissing, I'm thanking God.
Do you really?
I swear to God.
That gratitude shit is actually very
every day.
Effective.
Every day. First of all, I'm not on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Long Beach and get on a ship with a bunch of mortadels. Who goes on a cruise ship? You ever go on a cruise ship?
I've been on it. I don't like it.
No. Yeah, I've been on it one time, the cruise to nowhere.
My parents like it.
Yeah, please. Sit them down and talk to them. Give them
I've tried to.
Say, the next time you go on a cruise ship, I'll get a 6'4" black guy to throw you off. I swear to God, right there in Curacao, they'll never find your body.
I hate it. I don't like
Pablo
it at all,
Escobar.
Man. I don't like it.
You get the measles, everybody gets the measles. You get VD, everybody gets VD. And if that ship goes down, there ain't no Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
There ain't no Leonardo DiCaprio. There ain't no chubby chick.
You're
What's
fucked.
Her name? Kate Winslet. She's hotter than fuck, though. That pussy, that movie with her pussy out.
Yeah.
With Harvey Keitel, she shows a pussy. She got a beautiful fucking pussy. Most of the good looking chicks got that ugly tuck under pussy. You ever see that ugly fucking thing?
What?
It looks like somebody hit it with a hammer. Those tuck under pussies when the clit don't come out.
How do you like, it like slim and neat or do you like a little meat to it?
I like a little meat to it. Like I was telling Kate Quigley, she got a nice body but no pussy. It looks like cardboard down there. You know what I'm saying? If I suck a pussy, a uterus will come out. I need some meat down there. I need that clit to be chewy like a piece of calamari. You ever chew on that clit and you're like, it's tough like calamari.
Uh-huh.
That's how it, I don't want calamari tough.
Yeah.
But when I eat pussy, I want that, you know, if you bite it, it ain't going to yell.
What do you bite it?
You got to bite it from time to time.
What about you? Are you eating pussy
lately? Don't even get me, please. We've been off this subject for months. Leave the kid alone, all right?
Yeah.
Leave the kid alone.
I eat pussy.
Please.
I don't chew on it.
Yeah, that's why you're single. Because if you ate pussy the right way, you'd have 20 bitches around. You're a chubby dude. Chubby dude should always have 20 bitches because they eat that thing like it's their last supper. You go down there, you're scared. You don't want to lick the ass or you don't want to open the cheeks.
Yeah, please, I don't want to lick ass.
Don't get
you them never started. Eat ass?
No.
No.
Really?
I don't want to. God damn it.
Oh, that's going to...
That guy hit him with a little skunk bomb. from Cochinito last night. I took my wife to Cochinito.
Good restaurant here.
Yes, tremendous. Rice and beans.
How was that fart?
I don't breathe in now. When no.
It does that. It goes
eat the ass.
Why?
Don't please leave him alone. Leave him alone.
And by the way, I'm very flattered how often I get tagged that you're my twin.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. Yeah. If I lost like 50 pounds, but I need to lose some weight. It'd be nice.
Tom Segura, I don't want to take any more of your time on a Monday morning. You
gotta
go home and feed the fucking kids. Where are you next weekend?
I will be in Las Vegas at the Cosmopolitan.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I got big show. The only thing with tickets left is June 2nd, the late show at the Chicago Theater. It's a Sunday. I got two shows there that night. The night before is Detroit and St. Louis. Those are all sold out. So the late show, June 2nd in Chicago. Come to the Chicago Theater. It's a 9 p.m. show.
On a Sunday night.
June 2nd, yeah.
If I had the balls, I'd send a Jew out of prison to light the fucking theater on fire for adding a second show on a Sunday night.
That's crazy.
You're a fucking gavon. You should have just taken the money from Sunday and ran home.
I know.
Go get a fucking beefsteak sandwich. Now you're sitting there like a fucking Pavarotti with a cup looking for people to come on a Sunday night in Chicago. They got shit.
They made a good offer, man. What am I going to do?
They got a TomSegura.com or something like that.
Yeah, TomSegura.com.
How's your beautiful wife?
/ tour. Great, man. Yeah, she's great.
One of my favorite Hungarians in the world.
She loves you.
Three Hungarian friends. She's one of them.
She's one of them.
Christina.
She loves you.
You finally said it right now.
Huh?
You finally said it right.
What's that?
You said it right this time.
What's her name? I don't even know what I call
Christina.
It.
Christina. You call her Christine.
Sometimes you call her Christina, and we always laugh about it.
She goes nuts. I love her to death. Yeah. Is there a TomSegura.com?
Yeah, TomSegura.com/tour has all the dates.
Tom Segura, I'm happy.
Europe, all that shit.
Europe?
I'm doing Europe too.
When are you leaving?
Not till October.
Wait till ISIS fucking fucks you in the ass. Don't come texting me. I'm over here. Nobody will save me. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Wait till they fuck Bert Kreischer. Wait till he goes. He's going back to Australia.
He's going to Australia.
Yeah, wait till those kangaroos get him and put that kangaroo dick in him. He'll never be the same. If you thought he looked Chinese before, wait till you see him when he comes back now.
God.
I swear to God, I thought he was a fat chick. I thought he was Enter the Dragon. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Anyway, I want to thank my man Tom Segura and the Christ Killer. But most importantly, I want to thank you guys. But real quick, picking a reliable CBD company is like pulling fucking teeth, okay? But those days have ended. Lucky for you motherfuckers, Uncle Joey found CBD Lion. Tremendous. They make CBD products from start to finish. CBD Lion has you covered. It comes in vape, cartridges, and a shatter. And if you're not into smoking, they got a tincture you put under your tongue, your fucking tip-top magoo. Their products are clean, Bobby. And they aren't like the fakes that you see at the fucking liquor store making false accusations and shit like that. So do me a favor. Go to CBDLion.com and check out their third-party test results, and you'll be fucking flat. Let me tell you something. They're best, and they got tremendous raspberry gummy bears and orange ones. I don't know if they have any left, but jump on them. Do me a favor. Go to CBDLion.com, and on the way out, press church at checkout, and get 20% off. Who's better than you guys? You understand me? You'll be healthy. You'll be fit. And they don't take you for an arm and a fucking leg. Number two, listen. Memorial Day's around the corner, and you want to get your dick sucked. But you got that fucking bush of hair. It's dry. It's brittle. Your nuts smell like fucking hummus. And then you wonder why you're fucking single. Well, you got to help yourself. You got to fucking raise your percentages of getting pussy. And how do you do it? By having a beautiful dick. Okay, I mean, if you're gonna send a dick pic, you can't send it with hair and crabs.
That thing is great, by the way.
Manscaped is tremendous. All right, they got precision tools for your family jewels. If you get what I'm saying, Manscaped has redesigned the electric razor. They invented the lawnmower, a handheld razor with skin-safe technology, so you won't nick your dick or snag your fucking nutsack. Because you got to go easy on the helmet, guys. That's all God gave you. This bad boy will leave you clean, smooth, and pain-free. Plus, it's rechargeable and easy to hold, and you get it on the nooks and crannies. If you're a fat fuck, you got more rolls than fucking Dunkin' Donuts you got to pick up because hair comes out everywhere these days. Manscaped will get your beanbag looking as smooth as a fucking egg. And I'm going to let you in a little secret, all right? If you trim the hedges, that fucking death pole will look a lot bigger for you. Trust me, I've been working it for years. Now, at manscaped.com, you get everything you need to make your ball shine, keep your dick looking good, and your balls smelling fresh, because that's the most important thing. If your balls don't smell fresh, you ain't going to have no friends. So, if this is the first time you consider manscaping, we got the deal for you, all right? We got a thing called the Perfect Package. It comes with a lawnmower and a safety razor, plus the Crop Preserver, a specially formulated deodorant so your balls don't stink. I said it. Your balls stink. And the Reviver, a tremendous sprint that tones and refreshes your nutsack and your dick stick to keep it nice and fucking cool. Now, do me a favor. The Church family, you get 20% off, 20% off, 20% off your first order when you use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H for you stupid fucks, at manscaped.com. Again, manscaped.com, code CHURCH. And if you order the Perfect Package, you ready for this? They're going to throw a little travel bag for you. I got one at the house. I got my fucking razors in there. I got a little bit of weed just in case the bag falls off the ship. Whatever the fuck it is, they got you covered. And if you order the Perfect Package, don't throw the free travel bag in. That's manscaped.com. Use promo code CHURCH for 20% off your first order. Keep your fucking balls clean. I want to thank my brother, Tom Segura. I want to thank the Christ Killer. But most importantly, I want to thank you guys for always having our backs, you bad motherfucker. I love you to all my heart. We'll be back Thursday morning ready to sling dick and give out bubblegum. Don't forget, June motherfucking 7th, the Fillmore in New Orleans. June 8th, the Tabernacle in Atlanta. Tickets are on sale. Woo! Go to joeydiaz.net and let's get this fucking party started. I'll see you then. Kick this fucking mule, Lee. It's Monday.
Be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me. Who'll leave you to learn that misery loves company. Wait and see. I mean, I wanna be around to see how he does it when he breaks your heart to bits. Let's see if the puzzle fits so fine. And that's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from a front row seat, when somebody breaks your heart like you.